Let's pray. Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we ask your shalom to be upon us today, that your word be in our hearts and in our minds, Father God, that you put us on the right path of thinking, Father God, that we would be open to receive your word and your word alone, Father God, your hide and think that's not of you. Father God, that we would hear only your truth. Father God, you know where we're at and you know how far we have to go, Father God, to be the people you want us to be, Father God, and lead us on that path today. Make our hearts soften towards you, Father God, in every area of our lives, Father God, so we may be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Father God, into the image of your Son. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. Amen. Okay. I'll get you to play the video first. If you have a bit of a break, if you want to have a wiggle around, have a wiggle around, because it's a bit of a reading this morning. Yeah.
Shalom and welcome to Parsha in 60 Seconds. Today's portion is from Leviticus 9:1 through 11:47. It is called Shemini, which means eighth. After ordaining the priest, they made sacrifices. Then the presence of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire consumed the sacrifices. The people were awestruck. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, decided to improvise and offered unholy fire, and God's fire incinerated them. Their bodies were placed outside the camp. Aaron and his cousins were not to mourn or leave the tent of meeting. God tells Aaron that he and his remaining sons were not to drink wine or other intoxicants when they entered the tent of meeting, keeping it holy, or they would die. The priests and their families ate their portion from the sacrifice. Moses questioned Aaron after discovering Eleazar and Ithamar had already sacrificed and burnt their sin offering. Aaron gave an answer which satisfied Moses. And that is Shemini in 60 seconds.
Okay. There's a lot of questions I guess people have from this parasha. But we'll go through things, and as they arrive, if you have a question, feel free to ask, okay? I know we've got Torah Pearls this afternoon. A lot of them will be answered then anyway. Okay, Shemini means literally eight. That's the eighth day of the consecration of Aaron and his sons. It's a continuation of the last parasha we did. It's there's no literally no interruption. It should actually be the same. But, okay, it's the 26th Torah reading. This parasha is made up of 4,672 Hebrew letters, 1,238 Hebrew words, and 91 verses. It can occupy 157 lines in the Torah scroll. The eighth day of the ceremony to ordain the priests and consecrate the Mishkan, Moshe instructed Aaron to assemble calves, rams, a goat, a lamb, and an ox, and a meal offering as sacrifices to Jehovah, saying, "Today the Lord will appear to you," and brought the sacrifices in front of the tent of meeting, and the Israelites assembled there. Aaron began to offering the sacrifices as Moshe had commanded. Aaron concluded the offering and sacrifices as Moshe commanded. Aaron lifted his hands towards the people and blessed them. And Leviticus 9, verse 23 says, "And Moshe and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and where they came out and blessed the people. And the glory of Jehovah appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." Okay. If you want to bring up the next one. Just the next page. Okay. Remember that the sacrifices we talked about a couple of weeks ago, this is about a transference of identity. The sacrifice is us. And we are the sacrifice. Does that make sense to everybody? When the sacrifice has his hands laid on. Through this sacrifice, the priesthood and the community have offered themselves up in total surrender to Jehovah. Okay? So it's total surrender to Jehovah. So what Jehovah is saying by consuming the sacrifice with his holy fire, what's he saying? Does anyone know? No? You're offering yourself in sacrifice to Jehovah. What's he saying in response by burning it all up? That he's receiving it, that it's acceptable. Yeah. That you're acceptable. I'm going to put my holiness on you. I'm going to burn up your uncleanness, your flesh, and bring you into my glory. I will shine my glory through you. You'll be my vessels made for my holiness. Pretty clear statement, isn't it? Yeah. this parasha is something that is about something that is unique to Yah that does not exist in this physical universe. It's about his holiness. Okay? Because Yah is holy and he wants people to return to his image and be holy. Leviticus 11:45 says, "For I am Jehovah who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and you should therefore be holy, for I am holy." Holiness is in relationship with Jehovah. That expresses itself in our lives, in how we live, how we conduct ourselves, and our relationship with others. Holiness is in relationship with ourselves or others. Okay? Romans 12:1 says, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of Jehovah, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Jehovah, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By testing, you may discern what the will of God is and what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone amongst you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that Jehovah has assigned. Which brings us to this interesting situation we have in this parasha with Nadab and Abihu. I'm going to put that one up. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took a censer and put fire in it, an incense on it, and offered unauthorized fire or zur before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And the fire came out before Jehovah and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Now, zur has several different meanings. You want to go to the next one? I'd rather you just leave the words up there. Azur, to be stranger, be a stranger, to become a stranger, foreigner, enemy, a strange woman, a prostitute, or a harlot. Okay. Used in context, this context, zur means idolatry. Okay? Or to prostitute the instructions of Yah on how he's to be worshipped with other worship practices. Does that make sense to everyone? This situation, there were two aspects of something that was happening in this situation with those two. That was happening. One, next page, guys. The worship of Yah was being subverted, redirecting the worship to something else. Okay? Two, Yah accepts worship only in his prescribed manner. No one else, if it came from another religion, zur, we are prostituting the word of Yah. We often find this a lot of people involved in different religions who introduce foreign worship practices when they come to the faith. You can see this in Christianity. What did they just celebrate? Yeah. What did they just celebrate? Anyone know? Easter? Yeah, what's Easter mean? Sorry? Ishtar, it's the name of the goddess of sex and lust from Greek mythology, Roman and Babylonian. Yeah, they all say this and they have no idea what they're saying, do they? It's meant to be Pesach. Yeah. Leadership in the world and leaders in the world often believe they have a sense of entitlement that accompanies their position. This is not the case with Jehovah. Greater leadership responsibility requires greater responsibility to maintain Yah's instruction and protect his holiness from zur, that is defilement, that is disrupting the order which Yah has installed. Leviticus 10 verse 3, Moshe said to Aaron, this is what Jehovah said, though through those who are near me I will be consecrated, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron kept silent. Okay, so the closer you fly, the more responsibility Yah lays on you, the more he expects you to be diligent and know his word and keep his word. Yeah? That's a heavy responsibility, isn't it? This level of self-exaltation and belief and entitlement in their actions, that they had the right to somehow approach the Almighty in a way they chose because of their exalted position amongst men. These men in their hearts were not thinking of honoring Yah in their actions, but using his manifestation of his Shekinah to glorify themselves before the people by introducing an unauthorized practice. You see politicians do it all the time. A new government comes in and they just rename everything and change it around because now it's theirs. Yeah? Politics, self-glorification. It's narcissism, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We can see that throughout church history.
Yes.
We'll do away with that and we'll put this in because, you know, we'll celebrate on Sunday because, you know, that's our thing now. Mm-hmm. And you're not allowed to celebrate the Sabbath anymore because, you know, you're not one of us. And Yah says, well, it's my Sabbath. Do you want to get with me or not? And you know, the sad thing is people grow up in churches and they miss out on so much.
Yeah.
The Sabbath is so beautiful, entering into his presence on that day when you stop and you pray and say, now, this is the difference between the week and the Sabbath, and I can feel God's presence come. And quite often when the week's been stressful, I can feel his presence just wash that stress away and his nearness is just there. Incidentally, last week one of the guys asked me a question afterwards about the sacrificial system. He said, why were there different sacrifices? Why are there double the amount of sacrifices on Shabbat as there were on other days? It's really simple. The more sacrifices required by Yah, it's because the more he wants to draw near to us at those times. Yes? So when Yah requires the consecration of his people and the consecration of his tent of meeting, it's because he desired to manifest himself in a greater way. We read that today, that he put fire on the altar, he burned the altar, the sacrifice up. He's the one who did that. Okay, next one please. The sons of Eli. The sons of Eli were scoundrels who had no regard for Yehovah. And looking at this passage, we notice that knowing Yehovah implies being in relationship with and obedient to him. It's an expression of that. Okay? So you can't say I'm in a relationship with Yah and not do what he says.
Right.
Yeah? Otherwise you're not in relationship with him because he is who? Yeah, he's God. He's ruler of heaven and earth. If you're not doing what he says, you're not in relationship with him because he's not your ruler, right? It's pretty much straightforward, isn't it? Well, you have a very bad relationship. Yep. The custom, well, Yah is so graceful that he will accept people where they're at. He doesn't demand you change overnight. He rescued Israel from Egypt and didn't give them the Torah until they got through. Quite some time later, a couple of months later, to the mountain, then he gave him the Torah. And it's a gradual growth. Okay? The custom of the priests, Samuel 2, I'd really rather you put the words up there. Everybody would rather read the words of God than look at me, wouldn't they?
No, it's good.
All right. The custom of the priests with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest servant would come and while the meat was boiling, with three-pronged fork in his hand, he would thrust it in the pan or kettle and cauldron or pot, and all the fork brought out, the priest would take for himself. This was what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites that came there. Next one. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, give the meat to the priest to roast, for he will not accept boiled meat from you, but only raw. And if the man said to him, let them burn the fat first, then take as much as you wish, he would say, no, you must give it now, and I will take it by force, or I will take it by force. Next. Thus was the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of Yehovah, for the men treated the offering of Yehovah with contempt. Now Eli was very old, and he kept on hearing all his sons were doing to all Israel, and now they lay with women who were serving in the entrance of the tent of meeting. Next one. And he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings with all these people. No, my sons, it is not good report I hear the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If someone sins against man, Yah may mediate for him. But if someone sins against Jehovah, who can intercede? Who would not? But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of Jehovah to put them to death. Okay. Interesting, isn't it? They lived. They can't say they didn't know about Yah. They're the sons of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. They knew all about him and all about his requirements and all about his news. And it says there in Scripture we just read, they did not know him. Yeah. Yeah. They had no relationship with him. If they had a relationship with him, they would respect his instructions. Yes. You can't say you have a relationship with God and reject his instructions. Yeah? Because your humility, the softness of your heart is what Yah desires, so that you might carry out his words and be his people and be an example of his holiness on earth. You might be that stamp, that image of the Son of the Most High, be on your soul for everybody to see. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange unauthorized fire before Jehovah. Don't make the mistake. Yah knew what was in their hearts before the day began. He knew what they would do. He chose to cut these two off. This wasn't a whim of something that just happened as a reaction. He knew what was going to happen and planned it out beforehand. Okay? Yah is not fooled by anyone. Okay? The consequences of this incident to Israel as a nation and his relationship with his chosen people would have been affected by this affront to his holiness if it was allowed to go unanswered. Okay? Because this moment was a moment, a holy moment, an atoning moment in the history of Israel, where Yah was going to show his desire to put his holiness within the people. This is a foreshadowing of what the Messiah was going to do. Yes? All of creation is a foreshadowing of what Yah's going to do. Yeah. Everything is a parable. Everything in creation is a parable. Moses called Aaron's cousins, Mishael and Etzephahin. I can't pronounce his name. To carry away Nadum and Abihu's bodies, to place them outside the camp. Moshe instructed Aaron and his sons Eleazar and Itamar not to mourn Nadum and Abihu by rending their garments and leaving their hair unshorn, not to go outside the tent of meeting. And Yah told Aaron and he and his sons must not drink wine or other intoxicants when they entered into the tent of meeting, so as to distinguish between the sacred and the profane. Leviticus 10. Good. Excellent. Jehovah said to Aaron, do not drink any wine or any other intoxicating liquor, neither you nor your sons with you, when you enter the tent of meeting, so that you will not die. This is a permanent regulation through all your generations, so you will distinguish between the holy and the common, between the clean and the unclean. Holiness and atonement is important, and we notice the words in that verse, through all your generations must distinguish between. Yes? Absolutely necessary. The other part that's covered in this parasha is very important, is holiness of an eating. It's a consecration of our bodies for his use. Now, kosher eating, it's not that the food makes us clean, it's our obedience to his instructions that consecrates us towards him. Does that make sense to you? Yep. Clean or unclean reading, yeah.
Yeah, not kosher.
Not kosher.
Because kosher means that it's been blessed by rabbis.
Okay. All right, we had a clarification there, talking about being blessed by rabbis. But clean eating the foods that Yah regards as clean and not unclean, is obedience to Yah's word. Okay? It's not necessarily the meat that makes you clean or holy, because it's Yah's presence who does that. It's you choosing to obey him, and he sees that and responds. Yes? It's like when you read his word and you feel his presence come upon you. As you keep his word and you eat the things he says are acceptable, you do. And you know what? Everybody keeps a level of clean and unclean animals that they eat. Every culture on earth does it. Everybody's kept it since the time of Noah. Let's look at it. 7:2. Next, yep. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, male and his mate. In the time of Noah, there were clean and unclean animals. Okay? And I'll go through next. Put the list up, please. Yep. The Navajos had a prohibition against eating pork. The Yakuts from northern Turkey had a prohibition against eating pork. The Laplanders had a prohibition against eating pork. The Iranians or Persians would not eat fish without fins and scales. Many islanders have a prohibition against eating eel. Yeah? It's not unusual. How many people here want to eat monkey's brains? How many people, before they were saved, wanted to eat monkey's brains? No, see? Even in the world, there are things that people consider food and not food. It's not unusual, just that we get the list from Yah. We don't make it up ourselves. We do what he says. Yeah? I've had this conversation with so many different people. So why don't you eat that? Do you eat this? No. Why not? Because it's disgusting. Well, you make your list up, I get mine from God. He knows everything. Okay, next one, unclean. Oh, in Hinduism maintain instructions from Manu, Noah, forbidding the eating of carnivorous birds and animals that don't have a cloven hoof. Okay. Nevertheless, amongst those who chew the cud or part of the hoof, you shall not eat these. The camel, because it chews the cud and does not part the hoof, is unclean for you. The rock badger, because it chews the cud and does not part the hoof, it is unclean for you. The hare, because it chews the cud but does not part the hoof. And the pig, because it parts the hoof and is cloven-footed but does not chew the cud, is unclean for you. You should not eat any of their flesh, nor shall you touch their carcasses. They are unclean for you. Next one. Okay. You're not even to touch the carcasses of these 4 particular animals. Okay, if they're dead, you're not even allowed to touch them. Okay, it's the camel, the hyrax or the rock badger. Looks a little bit like a mixture between a possum and a rabbit. You know what, you've seen one?
Yeah,
like a big rodent. Yep. They're pretty to look at, but if they're dead, don't touch them. Okay. The hare or rabbit and the pig. You're not even allowed to touch the carcass. Yeah. Did you know that Muslims eat camel? Did you know that Muslims are allowed to eat camel according to their... They say that this is... But they'll eat camel and we're forbidden to. Did you know that? Interesting. Okay. All right. Now, kosher animals. Animals that you can eat. I'll give you a list of them because there's heaps of them. The addax, the antelope, the bighorn sheep, the black buck, the best buck, the bongo, the buffalo, the bushback. Next one. Next. The caribou, the cow, the dirk, I don't know what a dirk is. Erland, the elk, the gazelle, the gemsbok, the gerenuk, the giraffe. You can eat giraffes. Yep. Next. The goat, and many varieties. These the coral, the Hardbeast, the Heroa, the Impala. I don't know what that thing is. No, I meant the next one. The Kudu. Okay? All those ones you're allowed to eat. Okay, they're all kosher. Next one. Okay, the King Springer, the Macaw, the Moose, the Mule Deer, the Munjack, the Musk Ox, the Nigal, the Nyala. Okapi, Okay, next one. The oryx, the pronghorn, the ringbuck, the reindeer, the sable, the sheep, what's that? Satunga. You're allowed to eat that. Next. The springbok, the steenbok, the takin, the toppy, the uriel, the waterbuck, the white-tailed deer, the white beast, the yak. The wildebeest. Yep, sorry. Okay, non-kosher animals are pork, wild boar, rabbit, alpaca, llama, camel, squirrel, raccoon, bear, kangaroo, koala, wombats, possums, and any of the cat family. Okay. Sorry? They're not kosher. Yeah, they have them. Kangaroo and crocodile meat. You're not allowed to eat anything. I didn't have crocodiles up there. You're not allowed to eat crocodiles either. All right. Okay. Sorry?
Where did you get this list from?
I got this list from the Kasherot website. Why? The Australian one. Next. Kosher fish. Anchovies are kosher. If you like them on your pizza. Barracuda, barramundi, bass, blue-eyed cod, blue grenadier, bream, butterfish, cod, cardinal fish, carp, carp is gefilte fish, isn't it? Yeah. It's made from carp. Yep. All right, if you like gefilte fish. Coral perch, duckfish, flathead, goldfish, grouper. I'm not going to go through them all, there's too many, but you can see them all there, there's tons. There's a website if you want to check it. You find that there's more kosher things you can eat than non-kosher. Next, kosher fish, Tasmanian trumpet, a trout, yep, white bait, yellowfin, all that sort of stuff, okay? Next list, non-kosher fish, catfish, clams, crabs, crawfish, crayfish, lobster, mussels, oysters, shark fin, shark, flake, next one, shrimp, squid, sturgeon, swordfish.
And prawns.
And prawns, well they're what's his name? Okay, kosher birds that you can eat, capcon, chicken, dove, duck, goose, pigeon, turkey, cuckoo, non-kosher birds, cuckoo, eagle, hawk, heron, kite, owl, lapwing, ostrich, owl, and there's debate over the emu at the moment. I've heard debate back and forth. Yeah, I know. The carrots say it's okay, the orthodox say it's not. So, pelican, stork, swan and vulture are non-kosher birds. Okay? Next. What'd you say? What was it again?
No.
No, it was good. I thought it was great. Oh, I'm going to be stealing one. I'll get through all. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. For I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You should therefore be holy as I am holy. Our desires to be set apart in every area of our lives, not only in our relationships with each other, but also in our diet and everything like that. Because you know what? As we're obedient to him, it's like praying. Did you know that? As you're obedient to him, people come and say, why don't you eat that? Even that lady where I used to work said to me, I asked the guy what was in the food. And she said, why are you asking that? And I said, well, it's because I keep kosher. I'm a Messianic Jew. Looked at me, turned her back on me, looked at me, got up and shifted down two places. It has a dramatic effect on people. Sorry, yeah?
It's a pretty arrogant question, though, to top it off as well, to ask you why you eat.
Why are you... Because I was asking... Because I asked the guy, what's in that? What's in that? And he explained to me what was in it. I said, okay, that sounds all right. I'll have that. I think it was lamb shufter I ended up having. So...
You said, does it matter?
I was just checking to make sure they hadn't cooked it in something that wasn't right. So, so it has an effect on people. It will affect people. And yeah, by keeping kosher and by being a person who's obedient to him, he will use that. Because he can take that and use that to his advantage. Yes? Yeah. Right. You know what, I remember once saying to the Lord, Lord, because my little boy had got in trouble. And so I disciplined him and I smacked him on the bum. And then afterwards I thought, oh, Lord. And he said, no, I'll use it. So when you're doing what Yah wants you to do, when you're acting in discipline, when you are carrying out his words, or when you are keeping his words, Yah will use that. He uses that to speak to people. So don't be afraid to stand up and do what Yah wants you to do, because he's the one who brings about that. He's the one who protects you. He's the one who will speak to other people's hearts through that, and is by his Holy Spirit working on the Word of God that brings about people back to him. Yes? Amen. I love that man. He's an awesome guy. Does anyone have any questions? Yes?
In regard to them, disciplining the son, any father will discipline his son. He's supposed to, because he loves him.
Yes.
Exactly.
But the one who says you shouldn't discipline the son doesn't love the son.
And hates his son, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
The father either.
Yeah.
So it's a total buying somebody
else's business by their opinion, and that's a political action. Yep.
If
you impose your belief system on
someone that doesn't share it, then that's political.
Mm.
That's what Islam is.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? Do you want to know the statistics? Fathers, do you want to know some interesting statistics? Fathers are very important to kids, and mums are very important to kids too, but fathers are very important to kids because fathers are usually the ultimate bringers of discipline in the home. Did you know that 70% of prison inmates come from single parent families?
Hell yeah.
Yeah? That they didn't have, most of them, and of those, most of those didn't have a father's influence to discipline them and to bring that rod of correction into their lives. It's not that Yah can't do that. It's not that Yah can't step into the gap if the husband's missing, and he will if he's invited to.
Yeah.
But it is something that Yah's put in place that's very important in a family. He intends to be good.
Yeah.
Now Yah, that's right, yeah. Same, yep. Yep.
And over
90%
of the diets were junk food.
Yes.
Didn't hear that. What'd you say?
Said the diets of people before they're incarcerated, 90% of them were eating junk food, were not careful about what they ate. Yeah. It does. It has an effect. It does. What you eat has an effect on you. Yeah.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. To a certain degree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we're living in this world, you really might go no hungry jacks. And I tell my children, as far as you know, what not to eat and what to eat. Because there's plenty of choices around.
Yes.
So it's all in your heart. You need to make a choice.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Does anyone have any other questions regarding this week's parasha before we move on to the Yeshua Remembrance Service?
What about jelly? I know it's a lot of people.
Okay.
Jelly.
Now jelly, there's two different, it depends on what the gelatin they use, because some gelatin is not kosher, and there is a kosher version of it. So if you get the one made from beef, because it says so in the label, you can look it up. You've got a neat thing called the internet now. If they have gelling agent and you read the number, you can go and look it up on the internet. Most jellies aren't, but some are. Some are starting to go that way where they're kosher parve, and quite often if you get jellies with a little K on them, they're okay, okay? Because, yeah, things like if you're making a cheesecake and you want to use condensed milk, I looked it up the other day, I had to go and get gelatin from the shop that was made from beef, okay? Not made from, camel.
Yeah, so you've got to watch the candies you eat too.
Yeah, so.
Pick up the bad gelatin.
And look, Yeah, knows, and sometimes you make mistakes and sometimes you get the wrong thing, but you just repent, okay?
What's in condensed milk?
It's not condensed milk. If you're making a cheesecake and use the continental rather than baked, you need a gelling agent, okay? And the gelling agent is, you've got to be careful, make sure it's the kosher version, okay? A beef-based one.
The marshmallows got gelatin.
Yes.
So watch the marshmallows.
And watch the marshmallows too.
People just go out and grab stuff and they don't realize, well,
yeah.
Sauces,
yeah,
yeah, some sauces and some red food dyes are made from beetles, aren't kosher. So you just,
yeah,
a lot of fish oil.
Sauces,
yeah. So as soon as you become aware of it and stop, you know, that's good, because we're not living in a society that keeps kosher. If you're living in Israel, a lot easier, because they're very clearly defined. Here in Australia, it's you got to be a little bit more guarded and a little bit more careful. Okay? Does anyone have any other questions about what we read today or anything else or anything they've encountered? No? Yep. Yes. Yes.
What'd she say, Sean?
The reading today shows you have to honour Yehovah and honour other people and treat them with respect.
Otherwise
there's consequences. Which was very clear. Yeah. Serious. Absolutely. Death is kind of a very serious consequence. Yes?
Just one
other question. Yep.
One question that comes to mind is the sheep with all the animals that
yep.
are pulled down. This is quite often misinterpreted too by
yes, the sheep that was brought down before Paul, we read about today. Yeah. Yeah.
Peter. They assume that means that you can eat all these.
Yes, they're taking it to believe that means it's free.
They're taking it literally.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it says further down in the scripture that it's talking about loyim not being unclean.
Yeah. Yes, we know that. But Christians.
Yes, but all I've got to do is read scripture.
Oh, yes. That's what I say, read on.
Christians take that, but I mean, if you deliberately want to pervert the word of God to say what you want it to say,
you can do
that. You can leave this out. I mean, Nehemiah Gordon's got a really good video on that. On the Yeshua, Greek Yeshua versus the Hebrew
Jesus. No,
the Greek Jesus versus Hebrew Yeshua on YouTube it is.
Yeah.
You can go and watch. It goes for about 2 or 3 hours.
Oh,
and he goes into that in detail, where rabbinical Judaism, he shows you on a very basic level how they take and they twist scriptures in order to justify certain things. But yeah, people take it and they twist it, and you're right. Because, I mean, quite clearly it says take, eat, and he refuses all 3 times. So he did exactly what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, and he walked with Yeshua.
And he walked with Yeshua. He knew.
So obviously he knew he was supposed to. He didn't change it.
He didn't change anything.
Yeah.
Didn't eat it. And then when finally the interpretation, because as we know later on in Paul's writings, that the one who gets given the vision or the prophecy is the one who's supposed to interpret.
Yeah.
So he interprets it correctly. He was speaking
right.
about queen. Does anyone have any questions about that? That's, yep.
When you ever took a look at a statement, not a question, it's very interesting that the enemy is utilizing the forbidden food and making national dishes.
Yes.
Like in France, for example, rabbit is a national dish.
Yes.
In Australia, at the Passover, everybody rushes to buy prawns.
Yep.
It is the Kenyan
thing.
That is a national dish. And it's very interesting, that the opposite of prawns.
Well, that's the slavery, isn't it? That's the slavery. If you ultimately, when you are keeping God's instructions, you're allowing him, like a prayer, inviting him into your life to be participating in your life in all different areas. And if you're disobeying him, you're inviting someone else to be participating in your life. Yes? Yes. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Well, we should go through that one day, but who would like to go through a lesson on the other Elohim? On the other spiritual stuff. So there's a really good lecture if you want to go on YouTube by, what's his name? Ken? Wrote the Unseen Realm?
Isaac.
Who is it?
Heiser.
Heiser.
Yeah, Michael S. Heiser.
Michael S. Heiser wrote a really good book, if you want to get it and read it, about the unseen realm. He's a Christian theologian. He did a really good job on this book. And he talks about how, from a biblical perspective, going all the way through, how there's other beings around who have power and authority in the place. And that's what a lot of them do. The fallen ones, the ones who have rejected Yah's authority and set up their own. And that's what they do. That's what politics is.
Yeah.
I reject Yah's authority and I set up my own kingdom. Therefore, I set up my own rules everybody's got to follow.
Yeah?
Yeah. So if you want to follow Yah, you follow his rules. If you want to follow someone else's, you follow their rules. Yeah? Yes?
How would you answer the question, what is kosher?
What is kosher?
Scripture speaks of clean and unclean food. Kosher is what comes from rabbinical Judaism and usually means that it's been blessed by the rabbis. You know, like you've got halal food, which has been blessed by the imams. The same applies to kosher. So that's why I don't like to use the word kosher, because we don't take food that's been blessed by rabbis. We have clean or unclean. Everything in the Bible speaks of clean and unclean. Doesn't use the word kosher in Scripture.
Okay. Yeah.
The Lord God is love.
Yes.
Well, you realise at the end of our readings, in the Torah, it said we have to be holy as He is holy. That's all part. No, but you, the heart is part of being holy.
Absolutely.
You can't do it without the heart.
And
that's what I'm trying to say. It's the heart to bring the holiness. Okay, so we've got it can only come from the heart.
Absolutely.
And it can only come with Him living.
But I see a lot of people saying we do this and this, but their hearts are far from Him. I know that. So whilst we are all in and out the doing, we're not actually changing. Our hearts aren't changing. So,
but then, yes, our hearts are changing purely and simply because each year as we go through Torah, you know, we look at it and we see, how have I changed from last year to the next? And if we haven't changed, then there's something we're not doing right.
But it's by repentance that we change.
Of course.
Not by what we are eating.
No, but part of being obedient to His word is part of the heart thing as well. Has to be daily. This is why we have to read the word daily. We have to get into His word daily to understand, you know, and to pray and to be in His presence daily. You know, if we tithe just 1 hour and 10 minutes of our time a day, just tithing our time to be in His presence, then we get that heart message. It is a heart change. Absolute. So many people are here and they haven't made that seven inch separation between the head and the heart. And the heart is really important. You're spot on.
Can I just want to make a comment there. It's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks.
Yes.
It's So what comes out of the heart, it's your behavior. So if you love Yah, your heart will be drawn to keeping all of his instructions. Your heart will be to be faithful, because Yeshua, we're made righteous not because of Yeshua's sacrifice, but because of his obedience. Yeah? Ten Commandments. You got the Ten Commandments? Yeah? I will give grace to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my instructions. Yeah. So sorry. We'll probably bring it up in the forum and move on, because I think we're taking up some time now. But as from the heart, the measure of whether or not your heart's in the right place is whether or not you're soft towards his word and keep his instructions. Abraham was soft-hearted towards Yah and kept his word, and that's why his faith is considered righteousness. Okay, you can outwardly, like he said, like we said in the word today, that a legalistic observance of the Torah does not make you righteous. An outward observance of the Torah without an inward relationship with him is worthless. But at the same time, you can't say you have an inward relationship with him without an outward expression of obedience.
But that would be in love, because everything that he's
trying to bring us to is love. Because Yeshua said, all the Torah and the prophets hang upon these two commandments, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and your neighbour as yourself. It doesn't mean they do away with them, it means they hang upon them. They are founded upon them, they are established by them.
It's within love.
Yes. Love does not exclude the Torah, it is the foundation of the Torah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. When it comes down to it, you got to say, what would Yeshua do? Yeshua do? Would he keep the Torah?
So to sort of turn on the Christians, saying they're not doing this and they're not doing this, and not, that's being hypocritical, because we were once them. We're not there yet. So if our heart's awful towards them because they're not the place we're at, then is our heart changed?
Well, who's awful towards them? We're just using that as an example.
Before, you were saying before that the Christians still do this and they do this. Is it like we're in a better place than they are? We were them once, you know? So it just feels...
Now.
But that doesn't make us better.
Yes.
They just haven't got to the place that we've been at.
The Israelites knew the law.
Yes.
They knew the law, but they didn't obey it.
Yes, that's right.
And that's why they didn't get any more revelation.
That's
yes.
Right.
I mean, this rabbi, that Pharisee, that asked Christ, you know, what do I need to do to get eternal life?
Yes.
And he knew it. And then he stuffed it up by saying, well, you know, how do I love my neighbor? Which really shows that he didn't know.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you mean the young, yeah.
They knew it, but they didn't practice it.
Yes.
It was all phony.
It was all weird.
And the law is there, really, to tell them that there's no way they can obey it. It's only through God's grace that they can obey it.
That's
like
the law.
It's
true
love. It's changed
heart.
They have
I've got two thoughts on that. We have to have the capacity to keep his word. Yah had to give us the capacity to keep his word. If he didn't have the capacity to keep his word, it is incredibly cruel to ask us to make a high jump when we're in a wheelchair. That's incredibly cruel. Yah's not like that. He's a loving God. He gave us the opportunity. We're led away by the lusts of our own flesh. We gave in to our own personal desires, our own ego, our own selfishness that violated the Torah. Yah gives us the opportunity to repent, and what are we repenting from? We're repenting of our violations of his instructions back to keeping his instructions.
If we got it right, why did he send Yeshua? Because Yeshua came to show us a completely different way. He came to show us how to love our neighbour, and how to go and sit with sinners and pray for them and love them, not to criticise them, to put them down. That's not love. That is not love.
But who's criticising? We're identifying the problems, we're not criticising.
The things I'm criticising.
Okay.
I think it's just if the individuals, for me coming from Christianic church, all that, we've never learned anything like this in modern churches.
Mm.
What I have learned, what I have experienced, what I have that peace. I mean, I do criticize my friends who are full-on Christians. I have repeatedly said about Book of Acts, that clean, unclean food. They said, oh, well, Lord reveals to you, not to us. So they're happy whatever. Mm. I mean, Book of Romans says, don't stop your brother if he wants to eat and rejoice them. But I think the choice we make it ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, yes, we are human beings, we're going to say something about someone is not right, in my eyes, like my friend. I mean, yeah, took me away from there. I just said to my daughter now I know why we were like this. We just go, because their walk is like lots of modern church people, by his own finished work of Jesus Christ, so they're holy. But they do this, they do the compromise, but Father is not a compromise God. So I think it's for us to, we can't say, well, we have, for me, I can't say I have Holy Spirit all the time.
Mm-hmm. I say it is written.
It is written, it's a word, but we have to exercise that faith and awe. Lord says, if he sees our heart for him, he'll do more work for us. He puts that love in our. If becoming this Christian, we don't have that love for the neighbor, as Yah says, unless you walk his awe. You will have more love, more understanding, more compassion, more patience. I have experienced in my life. As I said, I've seen the Christians out there. They don't display the love. I work within the nursing home. I was telling Tama what I saw working with Christian people. What I say, what they say is two different things.
Mm.
You know, so I said, for me, I have the compassion, but I said that I can speak for the people who can't speak for themselves. But other Christians who, at the same place, they don't have that love. They don't have that love. So I can't say, because finished work of Yeshua, he came for the love, he shows us love, and we're fine, no, we're not. So we need to walk right, we need to obey, for like Yeshua said, he came to fulfill Father's will. Nothing has been changed.
That's correct. Look, from the beginning, Yah's put the Torah in place. He's put his instructions in place in order to... We get to choose whether to love him, and that's the way we express it through obedience. That's his love language. If you love me, you'll do as I command. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments from Yeshua.
But isn't the Bible the same Bible?
Yes.
Doesn't matter what church people are going to, the words in the Bible don't change.
No, people, teaching has changed.
Yeah, various translations and things according to people's dogma. But look, honestly, Yah wants us to be a people who love him, and that's why he allowed the enemy to come and the adversary to come and tempt us, because holiness is not holiness with the absence of temptation. Holiness is making a choice in the face of temptation. Yeah? Holiness is choosing Yah when all the other pressure is not to. And do you know how the benchmark is? His Torah. The benchmark of whether or not you're going to love him and obey him is his instructions. So when you come to tempted to compromise, to cross that line, that's the choice. That's where he's testing your love. Every step of the way. I shared that with you a while ago. I was tempted to buy a lottery ticket. I just left one job and I had my family and I was tempted to do it, and I looked at it and I knew. And so a couple of weeks, this thing had built up, and I knew that if I went and do this, I just had this assurance that this would happen. And I said, no, I want to do it Yah's way, and turn my back and walk away. And then Yah spoke to me and said, now I know you love me more than anything else. Because I chose him over my own family. I chose his way, because ultimately he looks after us anyway. But I chose him over everything else. Yeah? When you're tempted to not to do things his way, when you're tempted not to obey his instructions, that's when holiness, that's when he regards you as loving him. Because Yah put Abraham to the test. Will you hold back your son from me, whom you love? Yeah. So he obeyed the voice of God. And he knew that Yah wouldn't let him do that ultimately, or would raise him from the dead, ultimately, because he knows that Yah has that character and made those promises to him. We should make one more question, then we'll move into the issue of remembrance service, because we're running out of time and the kids will be out there going, where's my lunch? Yeah.
We've been on it quite a bit, so the question I've got is, okay, back to the original commencement of what we're all about.
Yeah.
Which really comes down to whether or not you should eat clean and unclean, what you can, what you can't eat.
Yep.
And Simon saw the cloth come down, he saw the animals, and there's various interpretations as we know. Nevertheless, the Lord said, take, kill and eat.
Mm.
Don't call defiled anything I have blessed.
Yep.
So in the sense of obedience, we're showing his love. If we say no, we won't take of it.
Yep.
By the same token, if we're starving, and he's put that in front of us as a source of food, as a nourishment to keep us going, is it a lack of obedience and a lack of love to not partake of it? Because he said, take, eat and kill.
That's a really interesting question. The problem is it's very hypothetical.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay, it's based on a hypothetical set of circumstances that don't really exist. If I was in a situation where I was really hungry, I would cry out to Yah, and unless he specifically told me something, and even if I was hungry, even if I hadn't eaten for a couple of days, and unless he specifically said to me, nah.
That's right. Yeah.
Nah, I'd rather, that's love. Yeshua was willing to die rather than violate his father's instructions.
And he wouldn't test him. He says he's not going to tempt us.
Because he was obedient unto death. And you know, you should read, there's a really good book by a Chinese guy, I can't remember his name, he was put in prison, they broke his arms and legs, they beat him up, they smashed his legs, and God miraculously saved him, I don't know how many times. He hadn't eaten for 70 days, and they offered him food and he refused to eat, because he trust in God, and everybody in his cell got saved, and everybody, because of the testimony of his obedience to Yah. If you choose to be obedient to Yah, and he had a guy who compromised and gave up the other people in his house church, and he said to him, don't compromise, and he said, no compromise. You choose Yah. You choose obedience. Because you know what? The amount of people have been persecuted and been martyred because they refused to compromise. I mean, we even talked about it a while ago. We talked about it a while ago during remembering what happened during Hanukkah, and remember what happened during Antiochus Epiphanes' oppression of Israel, and how we had a 70-year-old man who was asked, just eat some pork, just pretend to eat some pork, and you know, it'll be okay and you'll be right. And he was told by a lot of Jews who compromised, and he said, no way. And they killed him in the street for it. His testimony in Hannah and her seven sons, and the Maccabees, what the Maccabees did. And, you know, no compromise. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. No compromise. No, we're not going to bow. You know? And the whole situation with Esther and Mordecai. All you got to do is you just print it, tie your shoelace up, it'll be all right. No. No compromise. Do not bow. Don't bow to them. They can bite me. Yeah, he's my God and no one else. Yes? Yes. Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that. I'm not going to offer any more questions, and we'll just move into the Yeshua Remembrance Service, or my kids are going to be wanting to eat me.
And that's not kosher.
And that's not kosher. Oh, sorry. That's not clean. Okay. Hear the days are coming, says Jehovah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like a covenant made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though I, for my part, was a husband to them, says Jehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Jehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people.